Ladies and gentlemen,
Good evening.
welcome to the Bertie County Board of Commissioners meeting for June 22nd, 2026. At this time, we'll have our roll call now. Madam Clerk.
Chair Corey Balance.
Present.
Vice Chair Lewis Hoggard.
Present.
Commissioner Ronald Robertson.
Present.
Commissioner Vivian Saunders. Commissioner Michael White.
Present.
Chair, we have a quorum.
Okay, thank you so much. At this time, we will have our invocation and pledge of allegiance by Vice Chairman Hoggart.
I'm going to stand now. If you like, you can. If you're more comfortable sitting, you can. But I'm going to start off with invocation, then we'll do the pledge. Let's bow our heads. First, I come, Lord, in your name. We just thank you for this day. We thank you for the turnout tonight of the citizens who are here tonight, whatever reason that might be. We welcome them. We thank them for coming out and being for participating in their civic duties, as it should be. Then, Lord, we just ask as we go about our meeting that everything will be in order, everything will be at ease, and everything might not go the way we all like it, but we know as long as you're in charge, everything is going to be all right. And we do these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Vice Chair.
You're welcome.
Before we move to the public comments, is there any discussion about agenda changes?
Yes, sir. I'd like to make a motion. We, under reports and appointments, for number two, we add JCPC funding plan by David Nunnery. And then under consent agenda, we add number five and resolution to modify vacation leave, maximum accumulation policy. And then everything else would change under that.
And we'll cancel that. You didn't mention.
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry. And we're going to cancel the Bertie County Board of Education request. I'm sorry.
Okay. So we have a motion on the floor coming from Commissioner White that we change the agenda to accept in the place of the Bertie County Board of Education request the JCPC funding plan by Mr. David Nunnery, and also under the consent agenda, number five now being the resolution modifying vacation leave maximum accumulation policy, and everything after number five will follow suit at 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. We have a motion by Commissioner White. Is there a second? Have a second by Commissioner Robertson. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. So moved. At this time, we will have our public comments. And we ask that you please utilize your voice. And just remember that we have 3 minutes, okay? Madam Clerk.
Good evening, Chairman, Commissioners, County Manager, and citizens of Bertie County. My name is Latricia Hines Miller, representing Bertie County DSS, and I'm honored to stand before you this evening, not only as a county employee, but also on behalf of many dedicated employees who are present tonight and the many others who could not be here. We are here because we care about Bertie County, the citizens we serve. Everyday county employees work diligently to provide essential services that our citizens depend on. We serve families in crisis, support children and older adults, maintain public service, manage county operations, and work behind the scenes to ensure that government functions effectively. We take pride in our work, and we are committed to serving this county. For the past 2 years, employees have gone without meaningful salary increase while the cost of living has continued to rise. The prices of groceries, housing, utilities, transportation, healthcare, insurance have increased significantly, yet employee wages have not. Many hardworking county employees are working full-time and still struggling to make ends meet. The people who dedicate their careers to serving Bertie County should not have to worry about whether they can afford basic necessities. This is not simply a matter of compensation. It is a matter of recruitment, retention, and long-term success of county government. Across North Carolina counties are competing for qualified employees. When salaries are not competitive, talented employees leave for opportunities elsewhere. Vacancies become harder to fill, workloads increase for remaining staff, employee morale suffers, and the quality of services provided to our citizens can be impacted. Every time an experienced employee leaves, Bertie County loses a valuable knowledge, experience, and expertise. Replacing the employee often costs more than investing in the dedicated workforce we already have. County employees consistently demonstrate their value. Department work tirelessly to meet state and federal requirements, secure funding opportunities, maintain compliance, and provide quality services to the citizens. Employees often do more with less, stretching limited resources while continuing to meet the needs of our community. Our commitment to this county has never wavered. Last week, some of the commissioners was present and heard Congressman Davis say, if you were serious about taking care of the working people, align the tax relief with a living wage. Those words were powerful because they speak directly to the issue before us tonight. A living wage means that a person works full time and can afford basic necessities and provide for their family without financial hardships. If you truly committed to supporting working families in Bertie County, then we must also support the employees who serve those families every day, such as myself. We are also concerned about discussions regarding the elimination of shared vacation leave and longevity pay. Shared vacation leave is one of the most compassionate benefits available to employees. It allows coworkers to voluntarily donate leave to employees facing serious illness, medical emergency, and unforeseen hardships. It is a program built on teamwork and compassion. It costs the county nothing and demonstrates the very values we promote as a public servant. Likewise, longevity pay recognizes years of commitment, loyalty, and dedicated services. It acknowledges the employees who have devoted years, sometimes decades, to serve in Bertie County. Eliminating longevity pay sends the message that long-term service is no longer valued. At a time when recruitment and retention challenges continue to grow, this is a benefit that should be preserved and protected. We are not here tonight to complain. We are here to respectfully advocate for the hardworking employees who keep the county running every day. County employees consistently demonstrate their value. In the Department of Social Services alone, employees help generate significant state and federal reimbursements that come back to Bertie County. Many DSS positions are partially reimbursed through state and federal funding. For example, food and nutrition positions are reimbursed 50%, social workers positions at 50%, income maintenance caseworkers at 75%, leaving the county responsible for only 25% of those salary costs. Not only do DSS employees serve the citizens of Bertie County every day, but they also help bring substantial reimbursement dollars back into the county. We are asking for fairness and investment in the people who make county government work. A 1% or 1.5% increase does not adequately address the realities facing employees today. It does not keep pace with the rising costs. It does not strengthen retention, does it not demonstrate the value that employees bring to this county each day? The question before us, is not whether Bertie County can afford to invest in its employees. The question is whether Bertie County can afford not to. Every vacant position increases workload on remaining staff. It contributes to burnout, slows service delivery, and impact the citizens who depend on the county employee. Every experienced employee who leaves takes with them valuable knowledge, training, and expertise that cannot be replaced overnight, which are paid for by the county. A competitive salary adjustment is not simply a reward. It is a strategic investment in workforce stability, operational efficiency, and the future success of this county. We respectfully ask that this board provide a meaningful salary increase that reflects current economic realities and demonstrate that Bertie County values the people who dedicate their careers to serving the citizens. A modest increase may balance the budget on paper, but it will not address the recruitment challenges, improve retention, or help employees keep pace with the rising costs. The employees of Bertie County have continued to show up, serve faithfully, and do their jobs with excellence, even during challenging times. Tonight, we ask that the county demonstrate the same commitment to its employees, and invest in the county employees is an investment in better services, stronger communities, and a stronger Bertie County. We respectfully urge you to make that investment, and I thank you for your time, consideration, commitment to the employees and the citizens of Bertie County. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Letitia. Before you go, how many is speaking on their behalf? Okay. I just wanted to do a little house thing. I could feel it in the air. Somebody saying, why did I let her go so long? The reason I let her go so long is because she's representing 13 or 14 other people, which all really had a voice of 3 minutes apiece if they chose to. But they allowed Ms. Letitia to be their representative, and I just thought it was fair to allow her to express on their behalf. Okay. So everybody can understand, okay? All right.
Well, thank you, because I was just up here as moral support, because when her 3 minutes was up, I was going to take the time. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, thank you all so much. We hear your voice, and we understand your concerns, okay? All right, next.
Hi, my name is Tamaja Watson. Yeah, y'all know me. I just want to address one thing. Like I said, my name is Tamaja Watson. I do work for the Bertie County Register of Deeds. I noticed that a lot of people leave our office quickly. Can you please explain how do you decide who gets a raise? I've been in my job for almost 4 years, and I want to know how my time here, and what does it take into account, you know, for raises?
Okay. This is where you get to ask your questions and make your comments. We'll make notes of them. Little sidebar, you take those questions to your county manager, mm-hmm. and he should be able to answer those for you. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Okay, Madam Clerk, next.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. Chairman Balance and Commissioners, County Manager, to the public. I will be mindful of the time allotted to me to keep my remarks brief. Tonight I am speaking in my professional capacity as superintendent of Bertie County Public Schools and as a taxpayer in Bertie County. I am not speaking on behalf of the Board of Education, as my contract specifically prohibits me from doing so. However, I would like to share several observations and concerns regarding the proposed county budget and its potential impact on our students and schools. We've been recently informed by the county manager and administration that it was a consensus from the board that during your last work session that the Board of Education could anticipate a reduction of approximately $186,000 in local appropriations and an additional $75,000 reduction in capital funding for a total reduction of approximately $261,000. First, I am concerned about the long-term implications of a reduction of this magnitude. While the immediate impact may seem manageable, reductions to recurring funding often become permanent and compound over time. Approximately 80% of our local appropriations support essential operational needs such as utilities, insurance, maintenance, and custodial services, school safety and security, and teacher supplements. These are not discretionary expenses. They are critical investments that allow us to maintain a safe learning environment and attract and retain highly qualified educators. When I arrived in Bertie County in 2019, our district was one of only three districts in North Carolina that did not provide a local teacher supplement. Since then, we have worked diligently together to become more competitive in recruiting and retaining talented educators who serve our students every day. Second, I recognize that decline in student enrollment is often cited as justification for reducing school funding. While enrollment has declined, much like the county's overall population, the needs of the students we serve, however, have become increasingly complex. Our educators, counselors, bus drivers, and support staff work tirelessly to address not only academic needs, but also the social, emotional, and behavioral challenges many students bring with them each day. And we're taking applications for volunteers to serve if you want to experience, and bus drivers, any of these behaviors. The challenges facing our youth are well documented and are not unique to our community. Schools continue to serve as a primary line of support and intervention for students who need guidance, stability, and opportunity. It is imperative that we continue to invest in qualified adults who can effectively educate, mentor, and support our children. Sustained reductions in funding could eventually jeopardize our ability to maintain teacher supplements and other incentives that help us attract and retain professionals. Third, our aging facility and capital needs. We are all aware of the age and condition of our school buildings, some dating back to the 1960s. Currently, Bertie Middle School is operating without air due to the failure of both chillers, which are estimated to cost nearly $500,000 to replace. I know the conversations often come up about the sale of Askewville. Where do those funds go? While those funds have been beneficial, they are not sufficient to address the breadth of our capital needs. In fact, one quarter of those proceeds have already been spent in HVAC improvements in Windsor and Corain, and significant facility needs remain throughout the district. And the remaining funds will only address a fraction of those costs. Fourth, I want to acknowledge you all that you have tough budget decisions to make. I fully understand that responsibility that comes with balancing competitive priorities and competitive resources.
I was trying to stop it, just like I did for the, sorry.
I can't find that second. Right. However, I believe it's important to recognize that Bertie County Public Schools has worked diligently over the past 7 years to maximize available funding and minimize burden to our local taxpayers. Through strategic use of federal funds and competitive grants, we have been able to accomplish renovate the high school athletic complex, including the track field and lighting systems at a cost of approximately $2.5 million. We invested approximately $750 in enhanced school safety and security measures, including upgraded cameras, completed approximately $250,000 in HVAC improvements, and we are currently constructing a career and technical education center at Bertie High School, representing a $15 million investment in workforce development. That's a total of about $20 million leveraging facility and infrastructure improvements without requiring any local taxpayer funding. We've also made decisions, difficult decisions, to consolidate schools and relocate programs to improve operational efficiency and reduce long-term costs. And lastly, I would just like to speak now as a taxpayer in Bertie County. Just 2 years ago, property taxes were increased significantly to address a budget deficit. Today, we again find ourselves discussing fiscal shortfalls within the budget. As citizens of Bertie, it is reasonable to ask what structural challenges continue to drive these deficits and what long-term solutions are being considered. I do not believe that repeated tax increases or reliance on future property reevaluations alone represent a sustained path forward. Given our aging and declining population, it is increasingly important that we explore strategies to diversify and strengthen the county's revenue base while maintaining the services of our residents that depend upon it. Thank you, commissioners, for your time and your service of Bertie County and your consideration of these concerns. I appreciate the difficult decisions before you and your continued commitment to serving our community. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Smallwood. Okay. All right, Madam Clerk.
Deborah Taylor.
How you doing, Ms. Taylor? Good, good.
I've been here before. Y'all know me. My name is Deborah Taylor, and I live in Francis Mill. On April 1st of 2026, I lawfully requested public records regarding maintenance contracts and chemical herbicide application at the Bertie County water system sites. I followed up by email on April 6th, May 8th, and May 21st. I spoke with the county manager on May 8th. I've sent a certified letter to the county manager, county attorney, finance director, and the commissioners on May 29th. North Carolina law requires the production of records as promptly as possible. That language is meant to protect citizens from government stonewalling. As of today, I have not received those records. July 1st will be 90 days. We're sitting at day 82. Now, I have certification in soil and water management, and I operate a business that employs an NCDA certified custom applicator. Based on my training and industry experience, the damage I've observed at multiple water sites is consistent with herbicide application. More importantly, I've spoken with an NCDA inspector who agrees the chemical herbicides have been sprayed within the state and federally mandated 100-foot buffer zones. Chemical application in that buffer zone is permitted only under very narrow circumstances. My concern is that current maintenance practices are putting the drinking water of Bertie County residents at risk. The public has a right to know what chemicals have been applied around our pump houses and wellheads, where and when they've been applied, who applied them, whether the applicator was properly licensed, and whether label requirements, environmental precautions, and buffer restrictions were followed. Under 15A NCAC 18C.0203, Bertie County has a legal responsibility to control and protect public water wellheads from potential sources of contamination. If the records exist, let's produce them. And if they don't, let's put it in writing. The apparent absence or delay of federally and state mandated records for public water sites should be a very serious concern to the Board of Commissioners. So tonight, I'm respectfully asking that the board instruct the county manager to produce the requested public records by the close of business this Friday, or provide a written explanation about why we can't get them over to me. An almost 90-day wait is long enough. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Taylor.
Thank you.
Hey, Ruff. How you doing, hey, Ms. Caddy? All right.
Thank you for having me back. Giving me some time to speak. James Caddy, North Carolina Forest Service. Familiar to all you guys. I think I met you in years past. My supervisor and some other guys have been here ahead of time. I'm here again to plea again for funding our requested budget for this year. A quick reminder, Bertie is one of the largest forest management counties in the state of North Carolina. It's something to be very proud of. I'm very proud of it. It's one of the reasons why I love coming here. 350,000 acres in your county, as opposed to Pastang, where I work, where there's about 30,000. So the workload here is very, very large. This year, like any other here recently, has been very, very big. We've had a lot more fires. Mother Nature has not been kind to us on rainfall again. It is still falling around fourth place as far as the biggest industry-wise in the state of North Carolina. That is not something to take lightly. It's definitely generating a lot of profit for you guys. In the past, we've been involved with floods, hurricanes, and tornadoes. We hope not to anymore, but if the trend continues with this El Nino, we're concerned about the fall of hurricanes and floods. Quick reminder on how the co-op works, because we are odd, and it is frustrating for us too, to be honest, but 60-40 split, whereas we're 60% state, 40% county. Frankly, in my opinion, it's a good deal for you guys. That's the way I see it. And because that 40% that we put on that budget that we request you cannot go over. Just right now, we've been in the middle of fighting fire down in Hyde County, and they have broke well over $1 million on that fire. have same Fahrenheit in Bertie County. If you guys fund the budget, all you can be allotted is the max we requested, which is the 234,000. You allotted the 211. To boil it down like I did for you guys last year, what does this mean if you don't fund it? I'm not sure as far as the co-op stuff that goes to the Raleigh management level on, it's kind of, these are my words, not their words, a take it or leave it deal to do a cooperation agreement. I don't foresee it being that way. What I foresee it boiling down to this year is it'll mean no trouble. And that may seem like a not real big deal to you guys, but honestly, if we kick that can down the road in the last 6, 8 years, a long ways down the road, you were gracious to give us a truck last year. Truthfully, we needed 3 last year. Just being really frank with you guys, this year, to be really frank, we need 2. But we knew better than to ask for that. We have 2 trucks that are over 140,000 miles. We're not nice and good to trucks. It's not that we don't maintain them heavily. It's just our nature of our business. And carrying 200 gallons of water in the back of a truck for an entire part of its life is hard on them. We just got through spending about $5,000 on one-on-one maintenance. So if we don't fund the budget this year fully, it would mean no truck. And what it means is I'll be standing here next year asking for 2 trucks. I don't really have any choice but ask for 2 at one time. Just to recap, it costs about a total of about $88,000 for a truck. You guys only 40% of that. It's about $150,000 rig. The reason why it's such a good deal, we have the buying power of the state where that's why we went to white, by the way, and we're no longer green. So we buy trucks with the rest of the state of North Carolina, and we get a really good deal on F-350s. DOT puts the beds on for us. We get a really good deal with it. And we assemble the skid units, we call them, in the back ourselves. So we buy the parts and pieces. We put the lights on. We put the sirens. If you bought that on the open market for a volunteer fire department, of which I do on the side, I don't get enough apparently, it would cost us every bit of $150,000. It's 88, and you guys would owe about somewhere around the $30,000 range. So just pleading one more time to fund the budget, 234, not 211, the full amount. Thank you.
All right. For your time. Thank you, buddy. All
right. Thank you.
Okay. That's it for the public comments. We thank you all for your public comments. At this time, we're going to our reports and appointments. The first thing would be the presentation of the proclamation for Mr. Marvin Nathaniel Bubba Garris Jr. And a lot of you may not know Mr. Bubba, but Mr. Bubba served our community over in the Kelfort-Roxville area. He had a little service station there, and the Lord called him home, and it's the desire of the board that we issue out a proclamation in memory of Mr. Marvin Nathaniel Bubba Garris Jr. And I'll be reading it at this time in your hearing. Is the family here? You can stand. Stand. Come right on up so everybody can see you.
I know how you feel, fella. I feel the same way.
First of all, we definitely sympathize with you for your loss, and we appreciate Mr. Bubba. He was well known. He was a great guy in the community. He served and helped a lot of people. And in your hearing, whereas Mr. Marvin Nathaniel Bubba Garris Jr. was born on November the 14th, 1979, in Ahoskin, North Carolina, and passed away on May the 12th, 2026, at the age of 46, leaving behind a legacy of love, service, laughter, and dedication. And whereas Bubba was the beloved son of the late Marvin Nathaniel Garris Sr. and Earlene Dale Daniels Garris, and throughout his life, he exemplified the values of hard work, compassion, and devotion to family and community. And whereas Bubba was a skilled mechanic with a lifelong passion for working with his hands, and his talent, creativity, and willingness to help others made him a respected and valued member of his community. And whereas Bubba shared his gift of music with countless friends and neighbors as a passionate drummer, performing with many, many local bands over the years, including most recently the Fletcher White Band, and us, bringing joy and fellowship through his music. And whereas Bubba was known for his infectious sense of humor and his ability to brighten every room he entered, and he embraced life fully, through his many interests, including race cars, I'm sure that's what that meant, drag racing, mountain travel, and celebrating holidays in ways that delighted his beloved grandchildren. And whereas Bubba demonstrated an unwavering commitment to public service as a dedicated member of the Kelford Volunteer Fire Department and as a town commissioner for Kelford, faithfully serving the citizens of his community with leadership, courage, and compassion. And whereas family was the foundation of Bubba's life, and he is lovingly remembered by his devoted wife, Marie Johnson Garris, his children, Nate Garris, Tina Lassiter, and Ivy Welton, along with his cherished grandchildren, extended family, friends, and all whose lives were touched by his kindness and generosity. And now, therefore, be it proclaimed that the Burke T. County Board of Commissioners does hereby honor and remember the life of Marvin Nathaniel Bubba Garris Jr., recognizing his outstanding service to his community, his devotion to family and friends, and the joy and inspiration he brought to all who knew him. The board extends its deepest sympathy to the Garris family and encourages all citizens to reflect upon and celebrate Bubba's enduring legacy of service, laughter, music, and love, adopted this 22nd day of June 2026. Tanya Davis, clerk to the board, Corey E. Balance Sr., chairman. Who's going to do? Okay. Thank God for this. Okay. Yeah. All right. At this time, we will move to the Burke T. County. I'm sorry. We will move to the JCPC funding plan by Mr. David Nunnery. How you doing, buddy?
Yes, I wanted to present the recommendations from the Criminal Crime Prevention Council for the year 26-27. This is the season of budgets, so I wanted to present the recommendations. This has gone through our funding committee onto the whole JCPC. So for the 26-27 year, we have a total of $110,000. And we have it broken down like this. Children Matters is an interpersonal skill building program, as well as a community service and restitution agency. And we've allotted them $49,000 for next year. Methodist Home for Children has an interpersonal skill building program that also has a vocational education piece. They have been allotted $31,000. And then Burke T. County Conflict Resolution, which is teen courts, it's a diversionary program, and they have been allotted $24,000. Sure. And then our JCPC admin has been allotted $6,000. And this is actually the same programs from last year. They're doing well, high performing, they're great during our monitorings and funding presentations. So that is the recommendation of the JCPC.
Outstanding.
Thank you.
All right. Do we need to make a motion to accept this? Okay. Any discussion? Can I get a motion to accept this funding plan by David Nunnery. Okay, we have a motion on the floor to accept the
second.
Funding plan by Mr. David Nunnery by Commissioner Robinson, second by Commissioner White. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. So thank you, Mr. Nunnery. Next line item, Burke T. County Board of Elections candidate filing update. Hi, how you doing?
Well, this is my first time here. Not my first time being in government or being around government institutions, I'll say. My name is Pam Stanesky, and I am the Secretary of the Board of Elections. I know I am not going to do LaToya proud here, but I'm going to try very hard. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners, for having me. We don't do as well as LaToya without LaToya, but we are going to get our elections done. And our filing update that she said that she needed me to report on began on June the 8th at 12 p.m. and it ends on July the 6th at 5 p.m. Anyone who has filed, and I know, I may not have met all of you, I know you by name because of being on the Board of Elections for the last two terms. But if you are interested in withdrawing, not that you will, you can withdraw by July 1st. After that, you don't get a refund and you're on the ballot. Our current field of candidates are from the Board of Education District, and Mr. Freeman is filed. Board of Education District 3, Mrs. Dudley. Board of Education District 4, Mrs. Henderson. And they have paid their $60 fee to file. Soil and Water, Mr. Knowles and Mr. Whitehead have filed. They paid the $5 fee. And I know you know that those are 1% of what you get, so hence the $5 versus the $60. And our filing ends 3 days before. And I'm here to actually do a point of sale for poll workers. We really need poll workers. And I thought while I had the mic and people were listening, elections are pertinent to our democracy, and poll workers are pertinent to getting our elections done publicly, so and in a fair way. So I'm hoping that whoever's listening or anybody that is sitting on this board as commissioner or out in the audience, and you have Facebook and you want something to do to give back to the community, that is a good way to do it. I'm happy to take any questions you might have on filing.
Any questions?
No questions on filing. Well, how do you pronounce your name?
Stanesky.
Ms. Stanesky, what is the pay for those poll workers?
I'm sorry.
The pay for poll workers?
The pay for poll workers is $10.
Okay.
An hour.
Okay.
And we are having trouble, and I know that is not what I was supposed to speak on, but since you asked and opened the door here, we are having trouble securing enough poll workers to handle the polling stations that we have, locations that we have. I'll give it a benefit here. You get to spend 8+ hours learning, getting to meet new people, learning about the system, and usually somebody's providing food that has been there for a long time. So that's a positive to being a poll worker.
Is there a certain age? I'm thinking about some of our high school students as far as civics courses are concerned.
Hold on for 1 second. 18? Oh, we can use high school, yes. Seniors, yes. And if the civics teachers would work with us on that, high school seniors could possibly get some extra credit. I know the superintendent's here, and he may have in for that.
And HR as well.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I also, LaToya said that you may ask about the early voting plan when we do early voting. I just wanted to let you know up front that will be, I have no authority to talk on that because we have not approved it. It'll be at our July meeting.
Outstanding.
Any further questions?
Any more questions?
No. Well, thank you very much for your service.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Next line item, financial summary and budget amendment by Mr. Willie Carowan.
Good evening, board.
Good morning. Good evening.
You all have the financial summary for the month of May 2026. Our petty cash never changes. It's a standard $1,050 across the county. Our Southern Bank account had an increase of 2.556 mil compared to the same time of last year of May of 25. The payroll account dipped, or excuse me, also increased by $396.14. The CDs had a decrease of $83.57 and $167.14. The cash management account decreased by $3,126,918.65. This is approximately a decrease between the 2 years of $570,057.
Willie Mac, I'm sorry. What page are we on? I can't find what he's... Oh, it's the sheet. No wonder. Sorry, I was looking at in the book. My apologies.
The next item up for you all this evening. Is your budget amendments. You have budget amendment number 7. The first one is Articles 40 and 42. Portions of those are restricted to or for the purposes of providing structures for education. In my experience in the past, we have always split those revenues as they came in to put them within the school capital reserve account. So you can follow the money from their funds, air transfer over for air portion, and then the move into Fund 30 for the payment of the debt. So based on the budgets that were in place for the 26 year, we're going to move $832,500 in revenue, reducing the expenditures within the general fund that were transferred over, and budget those revenues within the school capital reserve account. Article 40, which 30% of it is restricted for school capital projects, is a total of $427,500. Article 42, which is 60% is reserved for school capital, is $405,000. The next item on your budget amendment number 7 is the fiscal year 25 school capital outlay carryout. According to our audit, any of the proceeds left over in that appropriation at the end of the year are to be transferred to the school capital reserve. So in the 25 year, there was approximately $529 that was left over in the remainder of that budget line. This moves the funds over into the school capital reserve. That $529 rolls into your fund balance in your 25 year, so therefore it's budgeted out of your fund balance in 26. Your next item is a North Carolina Department of Public Safety grant that the Sheriff's Department got for, received for equipment. It was $15,000. This budgets the revenue and the expenditures for that $15,000 grant. Your next item is the Cooperative Extension received a grant from East Carolina University to help fund their various programs. The amount of that grant was $18,900. They plan to fund portions of their swimming camp, cooking camp, the NFNEP program, the ESMM program, and also help offset the FNET salaries. That is your budget amendment number 7.
Okay.
Budget amendment number 8. The Department of Social Services received an additional allotment for crisis intervention, $50,000. This budgets the additional revenues as well as the expenditure for those money for school. You don't have
it. That one's in the book. Now we're back in the book.
Yeah. Okay.
So
And the last item on your budget amendment number 8 is your Tourism Development Authority. As you know, this year we established, or you all established, the Tourism Authority, and they receive a percentage of a sales tax from lodging within Berkeley County. They approved this budget the other week. It's $15,000. I know it's the end of the year, but they may have paid some things out of pocket. I think I need to get the budget in place for the auditing purposes and hope possibly refund them anything they paid out of pocket. That is your financial and your budget amendments. The last item you have for me tonight is a procurement policy. If you recall, earlier in the year, somewhere in the December area, we had a letter from the Department of Division of Water, Division of Environmental Quality, that our policies did not meet the standard under the ARPA guidelines. We submitted all the policies. We made the adoptions of those that we did not have. The one that we did have in place, the procurement policy, was adopted in 2018. In our desk review this month, we were told that policy did not meet the standard. So therefore, like we did on the other policies, we went to the School of Government, we pulled down their template, we made the adjustments in that template to reflect Bertie County's operating. And if you would, we need you to adopt that this evening.
Go to budget amendment real quick, number 8. Should it, that balance, it says 50-50. Is that just for the social services, or is that for both of those line items? Should it be 65-65?
Yes, the total at bottom. Yes, that should be 65-65.
Okay.
The individual lines are right within those budget amendments.
I got you.
When I inserted that tab, it did.
Sorry.
Any discussion? Any discussion amongst the board? All right. Can we get a motion to go ahead and accept the budget amendments, number 7 and number 8, with the adjustment on number 8 of being the total balance of $65,000 and $65,000?
So moved.
Second.
Have a motion on the floor by Commissioner White to accept budget amendments number 7 and number 8 with the correction of the balance on number 8 of $65,000 and $65,000. Second by Vice Chairman Hoggett. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay. And there was another one. Procurement policy.
It's an agenda. Right. Is yes, okay. It's will be C11.
It's number 11. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Matt. At this time, we will now be moving to line item B, board appointments. Madam Clerk.
Chair, the first one is for the Roanoke Chuan Community College Board of Trustees. They are asking for just one appointment. We have 4 applications. That would be Chair Corey Ballett Sr., Commissioner Vivian Saunders, Dr. David Ray, and Ms. Pam Stanitsky. And this will be for a 4-year term. It will begin on July 1.
Okay.
Board, Madam Clerk, I'd like to move my name.
Yes, ma'am.
And nominate Chair Ballett to be appointed to that board.
I'll second the motion.
But... any more discussion? Okay. Well, we have a motion on the floor coming from Commissioner Saunders to place myself, Corey Ballett Sr., as the appointment to the Roanoke Chuan Community College Board of Trustees. Second by Commissioner Robinson. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Next line item Madam Clerk.
The second board appointment chair is for the CADA board. It is a reappointment. Miss Ellen Cherry is serving on that board. We are asking to have her reappointed. I did speak with Miss Cherry. She said that she will accept a reappointment this time, but when it's up again, that she would like to offer it to someone else to serve on that board so they can learn and have an opportunity to serve. There's a little change in the appointment. This term will only go from July 1 until December 31st of this month. It's only for 6 months. Starting January the 1st, we'll start a new term, and then someone else will need to be appointed, and that will be for 2 years. The only reason this is a six-month term is because they had some adjustments on their board, and they had to kind of fix the term to finish up the fiscal year for them.
Okay. Okay, we have a motion on the floor by Commissioner Robinson to reappoint Ms. Ellen Cherry. We have a second by Commissioner Saunders. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye. 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 All opposed, nay. Next line item, Madam Clerk.
The last one, Chair, is for the Rivers East Workforce Development. We're asking for reappointment of Ms. Vivian Saunders for 2-year term.
Okay.
So moved.
The commissioner Saunders.
Yes.
Okay. Second. I don't know.
We have a motion on the floor to reappoint Commissioner Vivian Saunders for the Rivers East Workforce Development Board by Commissioner Robinson, second by Commissioner White. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye. Aye. All opposed? Okay. Thank you for all the board candidates. At this time, we will be moving to our consent agenda. First line item is to approve the April 28, 2026 special meeting minutes. Any discussion on that? Can I get a motion?
So moved.
Have a motion on the floor by Commissioner White to approve the April 28, 2026 special meeting minutes. Second by Commissioner Saunders. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye. Aye. Next line item, to approve the May 4th, 2026 open and close regular meeting minutes. Any discussion on that?
So moved. No, I'm sorry, no discussion.
Okay. Sorry. So at this time, we need a motion.
Move.
Have a motion on the floor by Commissioner Robinson to approve the May 4th, 2026 open and close regular meeting minutes. Second by Commissioner White. Okay. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye. Aye. All opposed, nay. Line item 3, approve the April 2026 tax release journal. Any discussion? Can I have a motion?
Second.
Have a motion on the floor to approve the April 2026 tax release journal by Commissioner Saunders, second by Commissioner White. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Next line item, to approve the April and May 2026 Register of Deeds fees report.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion to approve the April and May 2026 Register of Deeds report by Commissioner White, second by Vice Chairman Hogan. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye. Aye. All opposed, nay. Next line item, resolution modifying vacation leave maximum accumulation policy. Any discussion?
Yes, there are a couple of things that I would like to add, and I will also ask Attorney Smith to speak on this matter as well, as he provided a resolution that the board will need to pass in order to amend the current policy regarding the sell back or buyback of vacation and comp time, which the board has discussed removing. I do want to take a moment to clear up some confusion that may exist. And I also want to thank the employees who spoke on behalf of the county and add that I've did my part to advocate, although I understand the board's position with having hard decisions to make. It was not my recommendation to remove any Bertie County any Bertie County benefits. However, I heard one employee mention not having the ability to do shared leave as we currently do. And I just want to say I've heard rumors about an article being in the Vertique Ledger that may have some inaccuracies. I have not read it, so I can't say with certainty, but your comment came from somewhere, and I want to assure you that that is not will not be affected based on the board's discussion. So the shared leave policy will remain intact. That has not been discussed being removed by the Board of Commissioners. Okay. Secondly, longevity. It has come up in budget work sessions, but it was not the board's decision to remove that either. The only benefit that has been discussed that the board has agreed to remove in the fiscal year 26-27 budget is the ability for employees to sell back their vacation and comp leave back to the county. Okay, that usually happens between November 15th and December 15th of each year, and that is the only benefit that the board has provided consensus to not provide in the upcoming fiscal year. Okay, just want to make that clear. And so what you have before you, commissioners, is a policy, a resolution modifying the vacation leave and maximum accumulation policy to remove that benefit. Because again, that policy was passed to allow employees to do that. And Mr. Attorney Smith's office drafted this resolution and the amended vacation leave and maximum accumulation policy to reflect that change, which is simply not to allow employees to sell their vacation or comp time back to the county. Okay. Anything you'd like to add, Attorney Smith?
No, I mean, we removed one sentence, basically, which was that you could sell your vacation back, which in effect means you get paid twice because you get paid vacation and you still get paid vacation. That's very clear under the general statutes of the state. Once you've adopted that, the only way you can affect vacation benefits is by a resolution and also giving advance written notice one pay period in advance. So that's got to be done as well if you adopt this resolution.
Okay. Hearing.
And I will say what I was working from, it was all past April the 4th of 2016, 10 years ago. And the shared leave policy is just exactly like it was. And the longevity policy is exactly like it was. We didn't touch it. We just put it to the side.
So this stops them from getting that extra check if they want to sell it back to the county.
That is correct.
Right, that's right. Okay. Well, with all that being heard, any discussion? Any further discussion? Okay. We need a motion to adopt the resolution modifying vacation leave maximum accumulation policy.
So moved.
I have a motion on the floor by Commissioner White. I need a second.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Robinson. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye. Aye. All opposed, nay. Okay. The policy is carried through. Next line item, 6, is to approve the fiscal year 2026-2027 budget ordinance and schedule of fees.
Commissioners, on page 45, of your packets, you will find the budget ordinance for fiscal year 26-27. I would just like to mention that the last items that you all discussed during the budget work sessions, which included the 1.5% increase and approximately $80,000 going back to Berkeley County Schools, those amounts are included in this budget. However, there was an increase we found out about in and came to the attention of Finance Officer Willie Mack, where we had to increase the cost of property and liability insurance. But again, that does not affect the 1.5% nor the $80,000 back to the schools. To cover that, we're having to place a temporary freeze on some vacant positions. Outside of those changes to the actual numbers in the budget, on page 50, or starting on page 49 at the bottom, you'll see some things in red, which are the exact amounts of the appropriations to Berkeley County Public Schools. It also addresses where unspent funds to the capital school reserve, capital outlay funds that are not requested. In previous years, it stated that it will go back to the school capital reserve.
fund.
However, through the recommendation of our attorney, we're in my agreement. It states that all unused funds shall be applied to any indebtedness of Bertie County as a result of bonds obtained for Bertie County schools. And if no such indebtedness exists, all unspent capital outlay funds shall remain within Bertie County's general fund. In addition to that, it speaks to the ad valorem tax levy. It speaks to the Fire Protection Service District, as well as the occupancy taxes. Again, those changes are in red in the budget ordinance, but the only additional changes that took place since our last meeting are the ones that I just highlighted for you.
Okay, any discussion amongst the board? Okay.
So I do have a question. So how much will we actually cut in the school budget?
The total amount is including the local appropriation as well as the school capital outlay. It's a total of approximately $260,000, $261,000. You're welcome.
Any more questions or discussions? Okay. We need a motion then to approve the fiscal year 2026-2027 budget ordinance and schedule of fees.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
I have a motion on the floor by Commissioner Robinson. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Commissioner White. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye. Aye. All opposed, nay. All right. Approval of the budget ordinance of the 2026-2027 fiscal year has been approved. Next line item, which is number seven, approved contractual agreement between Bertie County Council on Aging and Interim Healthcare Morris Group Incorporated. Any discussion on that?
Again, this is one of the annual contracts between our aging department and interim healthcare Marsh Group for healthcare services provided to seniors.
Okay. Any discussion amongst the board?
Okay.
All right. Can I get a motion to approve the contractual agreement between Bertie? Okay. We have a motion on the floor by Commissioner White to approve the contractual agreement between Bertie County Council on Aging and Interim Healthcare Morris Group Incorporated. And second by Commissioner Saunders. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye. Aye. All opposed, nay. Next line item, approved agreement for transportation services between CPTA and Bertie County. Any discussion? Can I get a motion to approve the agreement for the transportation services between CPTA and Bertie County? We have the motion on the floor by Commissioner White. Is there a second? Second by Commissioner Saunders. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye. Aye. All opposed, nay. Next line item, approve a Council of Aging on Aging food service contract with Trump's Restaurant. Any discussion?
Yes. Council of Aging, are they pleased with Trump Restaurant service?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
No jail, but we got it's awesome.
Okay. So.
So moved.
We have a motion on the floor to approve the Council on Aging food service contract with Trump's Restaurant by Commissioner White, second by Commissioner Saunders. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye. Aye. All opposed, nay. Next line item, approval of special project consultant contract with Ms. Robin Payne.
Second.
We have a motion on the floor by Commissioner Saunders to approve the special project consultant contract with Ms. Robin Payne, second by Commissioner White. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye. Aye. All opposed, nay. Next line item, approved procurement policy for expenditures. This is what Mr. Willie Mack went over with us. Is there a motion on the floor?
Second.
We have a motion on the floor by Commissioner Saunders, second by Commissioner White, to approve the procurement policy for expenditures. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye. Aye. All opposed, nay. Other items, For the discussion agenda, we have the mayor's and commissioner's dinner Thursday, July the 9th at 2026 at 7 p.m., town of Powellsville. At this time, we will have our commissioner report, starting with Commissioner Robinson.
This afternoon, we report that NCDOT helped and awarded over $597,000 for bridge replacement. So you ran through the county, you see bridges running up. That's one of the reasons why.
Vice Chair.
Not necessarily a report, but you know, it's listening to things. There's been some tough decisions that have to be made by the county. But I was in Raleigh last week before rather, and you know, at the legislative building, and you know, and I hear people talking about the 1.5% raise we get here, you know, and understanding that last couple of years there hadn't been one. But at the same time, you know, what's happening with our legislators is a lot of unfunded mandates. I mean, there are cuts going on. They're, even with our school system, they're taking away funding, you know, because of vouchers. Believe me, I have nothing against vouchers. But people take those vouchers, they can go to charter schools. We have a lot of those charter schools and private schools. And that's the American way. It should be that way. But at the same time, it hurts Bertie County with all the cuts and that they're doing in Raleigh. And I understand, you know, a friend of mine happened to be one of the attorneys in the area. Local government is the truest form of democracy. You know, we're not here, we're not being paid to buy out or sell out. And I'm not calling anybody sellouts up in Raleigh. But the things that they do and they compromise. And when those compromises come down, they take it. And who does it hurt? Small, rural, tier one counties, low socioeconomic status counties like Bertie County. And then what happens? You know, they're talking about now, you know, putting a cap on taxes and what, and they're going to sell it. Like, do you want your taxes raised? Who in the hell want their taxes raised? Nobody does. I wouldn't dare vote to raise taxes if it even came to this board. But what's going to happen is it's going to be on the ballot in November and they're going to sell it. Like, do you want your taxes raised? Nobody wants their taxes raised. And you go vote on it. And what happens? It wins. So what happens then? Local law enforcement agencies, EMS services. Then we have to fund them. How are we going to fund them? We don't have the revenue to do it. So I understand how you might feel. Read your papers, read the fine print, and vote in November. We're not your enemies. We're here to help. We're born and raised right here in Bertie County. I'm here to help the best I can. But tough decisions sometimes have to be made. But yet, we get the blame when you need to look at who's representing you in Raleigh and who's making these decisions that are costing us counties to have to cut budgets and do things that we don't want to do. It's called unfunded mandates. They do it up there and they expect us to fund it. How? Thank you.
Commissioner White.
I just want to say thank you to the employees. Like, I know the 1.5 is not what you want. Mm-hmm. Trust me, if we could give you more, we would. I just hope I have it, as a side of a joke, I hope I have a job tomorrow since I just voted to cut the school budget, right? That's where you were supposed to laugh. Thanks, Mr. Lord. We do appreciate you. We know that the 1.5 is not where it needs to be, but I do want to say thank you for all you do to help citizens of Bertie County.
Well, I just want to thank everybody for coming out with Juneteenth. We're a success, and I appreciate it. And since everybody is talking about it, I guess I'm just ignorant, don't understand, but I know in the past we have done things to do special projects. But why can't we do things to support people? And I'm just me, and I probably don't know enough to know how this budget stuff. So just for people.
Okay. I would just like to say I did some investigating for some citizens. First of all, I want to thank the employees. If I could control the pencil, you all would be, you know, holding all of us up, giving us a parade. But unfortunately, you know, in order to do things like that, it requires funds. And the funds aren't there right now, but I do see a bright future. If you can just hang in there, I do see a bright future. And but I also want to say that I did some investigating for people who are concerned about our local trash deposit areas. And after talking with some leaders of Republic Services, the concerns they had were there's a lot of outside debris coming in from the surrounding counties. Contractors bringing in, and you know, they have cut the hours to our sites. And before our citizens can get to the sites, you have outside contractors coming in, filling it up with stuff from other counties because they are acting just like they're citizens of Bertie County. Now, this is the feedback that I got from Republic Services, and they're trying to figure out how to fix it. But it's hard to fix. They're trying to check IDs. They're trying to do the things they can, but it's just no way to effectively stop it, you know. But I wanted to put it in you all's hearing. One of the problems that they're having at our local trash sites, we're getting a lot of trash from outside. It keeps our dumpsters full. It keeps them running behind because they can't meet the need of our citizens because of outside sources. I just wanted to put that out there so you can be mindful. All right. So at this time, we will have our county manager's report.
Yes, I have a few very quick things. The first thing is on June 30th at 9:30 a.m. in the community meeting room of the Bertie County Library and Cooperative Extension Center, we will have our annual opioid meeting, which is for the community. We ask you all to come and provide your input. Through the last meeting that we had, interest was expressed in hearing from someone who had lived experience. So it's our goal to have someone there to speak from that perspective. If you or you know someone who has lived experience with opioid use disorder, by all means, we can talk so that we can get connected so that they can be a part of the meeting. So please feel free to join us 9:30, June 30th, community meeting room of the Bertie County Library and Cooperative Extension Center, which is the address is 104 Lancaster Avenue in Windsor. The next item is, and Commissioner Robertson mentioned it during one of our public hearing, but I want to take the time because I haven't seen that in our local paper, but Bertie County's bond rating was upgraded. S&P Global Ratings raised our credit rating for Bertie County to A+ from A, and its rating on the county's existing limited bond obligations to A from A-. Okay. And so the reason for that is the upgrade reflects, and this I'm reading directly from the article, says the upgrade reflects the county's increasing reserve levels and generally positive financial performance, which is supported by management's conservative budgeting. So the last time we were decreased a notch in both of those areas because of low reserve levels, and now they've increased or been upgraded because of improvement there. So I just want to make sure everyone is aware of that. Next, we have the animal shelter, which is really great news. There was some skepticism in the community because we had taken funds from the animal shelter budget to construct the basketball court. So we have a new basketball court at the recreation complex, and we also have a new animal shelter. Information about a ribbon cutting will be coming soon. For now, we still have a few last minute touches to add, including fencing, including electrical and water hookups, including rocks for the driveway, et cetera, et cetera. So the animals have not moved into that new location, but a Bertie County Animal Shelter has been delivered and is in town. And lastly, I would just like to reiterate statements I said a little while ago, thanking Bertie County employees for your presence tonight and for speaking on behalf of yourselves and on behalf of the staff. I just ask you all to continue to hang in there, continue to be dedicated and committed to providing services to our citizens, because it is needed and revaluation is around the corner, and I'm expecting to be able to do some great things. So again, thank you.
Okay, thank you, County Manager. At this time, we will have attorney's report. Lord.
Oh, yes, please. We'll need a vote from the board on that.
Litigation asking us to agree to dismiss the smallest of all companies. Rationale that it's a false woman for I guarantee you that money is people of base for us in the rest of the country that on his opioid. Companies that wouldn't be making that recommendation, they thought there was any way to squeeze profit out of it. Because we don't know the nickels and dimes like they do. I know them and I know the work they're doing, and so what they're doing to this, everybody dismiss that company. It's just a judge that again, if keep them in there, it might have 7 years. Let's not wait that long to get the money to do the help.
Right. Okay. All right.
I'm going to try to answer your question.
Okay, anybody have any questions? Mr. Lord? Okay.
Madam Clerk? No questions. If I seemed angry when I was talking earlier, I was, and I am, because of what's going on. So, not with anybody out there in the audience. Thank you guys a bunch. But yeah, we all need to be angry. And we all need to be vigilant. We all need to know what's happening and why. Thanks.
Okay. Madam Clerk, public comments?
We'll need a we'll need a motion for that. So what Attorney Smith mentioned, so that I can respond to the opioid team to let them know of the withdrawal.
Okay. Can you give me the proper wording for that?
I don't have the entire question with me.
I can
pull it up.
You know the name. The name of the.
It's Treece Farmer. So if you would make a motion to withdraw the prior consent to join the motion to leave to amend his complaint to add Treece Farmer as a defendant.
Okay. Okay. I just need to make sure you got it. You got it.
I was looking. Treece Farmer. I got it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. So
then you make a motion.
Sure. I move that we leave. The Treece Farmer opioid settlement?
No. We want to withdraw.
I'm going to say, I'm sorry.
Withdraw our motion to include them in.
That right there, I make that motion. To withdraw that.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. I want to at least make sure we pronounce it right. What's the name of that group?
It's
Treece Pharma,
P-H-A-R-M-A. Okay. We have a motion on the floor to allow...
Withdraw.
Ms. Okay. Okay. We have a motion on the floor to withdraw Treece
Pharma. Mm-hmm.
Pharmaceuticals by Commissioner White. Second by Commissioner Sanders. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye. Aye. All opposed, nay. Okay. And no public comment. So we need a motion now to go in closed session according to North Carolina General Statutes 143-318.11A3, 4, and 6.
So moved.
I have a motion on the floor by Commissioner White to go into closed session. Second by Commissioner Sanders. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye. Aye. All right, ladies and gentlemen, at this time we will be going to the closed session. Was that everything? Okay. All right, well, sounds
anything for open session.
Nothing for open session. Right. Okay. At this time, we need a motion to come out of closed session. Now, I have a motion by Commissioner Saunders, come out of closed session. Second by Commissioner White. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye. Aye. All opposed, nay. All right. Well, we'd like to thank everyone for attending our June meeting. We now need a motion on the floor to adjourn this meeting. Have a motion on the floor by Commissioner Saunders to adjourn. Is there a second? Second by Commissioner White. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye. Aye. All opposed, nay. This meeting is adjourned.